Travels Through a Kingdom on Radio Kerry with Kaya Flynn.
And welcome to Travels Through a Kingdom. It's myself, Kaya Flynn, with you tonight, and I do hope I find you all very well. How are you keeping? Have you any news for me? I would love to hear from you tonight. You can do so by texting me on the usual numbers, on text and WhatsApp on 083 300 3300, or you can email me at any point, kflynn@radiokerry.ie. Now, before we get started on tonight's show, I want to say a big hello to three ladies I met at Mary Conroy's Toxus concert that was on in the Seamstera on Friday night. It was a beautiful concert and it was just so much fun and lots of laughter and giggles and everything with it. And we have a few photos and videos on our Facebook page as well if you'd like to take a look at those. But it was really nice to meet you all and I hope you all enjoyed it. Those three ladies as well, I must say, were from Kilmoily. So if you're listening tonight, you might be a bald soccer player. She had to fight a ninja and I think she wanted to play for Liverpool or something. So this is what all the children thought of together. They all had to pick and it was very fairly picked. It was very funny to watch. So I went around to some of the pupils to see how they were getting on with their stories and what they were coming up with.
What's your first name?
Ella.
Perfect. What did you think?
I thought it was quite fun to make the story.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever done anything like this before?
We've written stories at school before.
Mm-hmm. And have you ever seen, let's say you're writing stories at school, but then have you ever broken it down like you have today?
I mean, sometimes the teacher does make us break it down beforehand and make a plan. Mm-hmm. And that's cool.
Okay, yeah. And what do you have to work with? What's the story?
Well, it's about a lady detective called Patsy. And but there's one problem, because there's a ninja called Kling, and he also wants to be it, but we haven't seen him yet in the story. And so she's talking about how she's going to shave her head the next morning and become a bald soccer player.
Have you ever wanted to shave your head?
No.
Very good. And how's the story going for you so far?
It's good. Yeah. I just drew a picture for it.
Okay. Your name is Eva?
Yeah, Eva.
Hi, Eva. How are you finding the storytelling workshop?
I'm finding it quite good. I don't usually write stories, but I used to when I was younger.
Oh, wow. What did you write?
Random stories that came to my head, really. Yeah.
Your imagination?
Yeah.
Very good, very good. And that's where a lot of all these stories come from, is everyone's imagination and making it so vivid. Do you listen to any stories or watch any?
Not really, no. Mm-hmm.
And obviously you're writing a story here at the moment. I know you only have two sentences, so no pressure here. But what is it that you like about writing?
Well, sometimes it could be fun and sometimes it could be boring, but mostly it's fun. So.
And do you find, you know, you're from the Stole, aren't you?
Yes.
Do you find being from the Stole that you have that bit of creativity or, you know, that influence of writing?
Maybe. I don't really know.
What's your name?
Gerald.
Hi, Gerald. Well, tell me, how's the workshop going for you?
Good.
What do you like about it?
Writing stories with your friends.
Yeah? Have you done that before?
No.
Right. Did you expect to enjoy it as much as you were?
No.
Right. Okay, where are you going with your story?
Fair. Very good.
Yeah. You're not going to give us a bit of a teaser, are you?
No.
Just in case someone else takes your ideas.
Yeah.
Perfect. And your drawing, is this your drawing?
No, that's your daily show.
Oh, very good. So her drawing's very cool, isn't it? Okay. Do you like the arc of the story at the moment?
Yeah.
It was nice that you could all do it together as a class.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, I'll let you get back to it. You've loads written. I'm sure you'll take up the two pages. Thank you. Hi, what's your name?
Thomas.
Hi, Thomas. How are you finding it?
Good.
Do you like storytelling?
Yeah.
Have you done anything like this before?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Tell us a bit about it.
I won the story competition in Kerry.
You win?
Yeah. Maybe 2 or 3 months ago.
Oh, wow. What was the story about?
It was about a guy called Indiana who went on adventures. And the story, he went to Egypt exploring and he got pulled into a cave in a pyramid.
Okay, brilliant. And you obviously like storytelling. So what is it that had an interest for you?
I just can, whatever comes into mind, I just write and I enjoy it.
And how far are you going with the story here at the moment? You're beautiful writing.
Thanks. I'm trying to put something together.
Mm-hmm. When you were putting that story up a few weeks ago,
yeah.
Did you like brainstorm beforehand, or was it all just coming from your head?
We were on the drive to Limerick and it just popped into my head. So I wrote it in English and then I turned it into Irish for the...
Wow, really?
Yeah.
That's incredible. That's a really special talent to have.
Yeah.
Wow. And did you watch any storytelling videos before or anything, or do you read a lot of books?
No. I just read Liverpool books and stuff.
Very good. I have a feeling so you're a Liverpool supporter.
Yeah.
Very good. Is there anything that you'd like to do in the future with storytelling?
Not really. I just like writing.
Very good. Brilliant. Well, I'll let you get back to writing because I see everyone is hard at it at the moment, so I don't want to distract you, but thank you very much.
Thanks.
What's your name?
Jack.
Hi, Jack. How are you?
Good.
Do you enjoy the workshop?
Yeah.
What did you like about it?
I mostly liked the creating of the story.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever written before?
No, not much.
Okay, and what is it that you like about it?
I think it's just the creativity.
Is that a football thing?
Are you a very creative person?
Not too much, but a little.
Yeah, I think we all are, but we just don't realise it, isn't it? Until we put pen to paper, isn't it?
Yeah.
Speaking of pen to paper, how are you finding putting the story together?
Yeah, I find it fun and good.
Right, where are you going with it?
She's travelling over the world to find people to help her train to go on to get on a very good soccer team.
And are you interested in soccer?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, what team do you support?
Man United.
Oh, so now that she's going for Liverpool, this might take a different turn, is it?
Well, yeah. Well, I didn't really want them to vote first, but...
You tried your best, didn't you?
Yeah, I tried my best.
And that was some of the pupils who were attending the Fighting Words storytelling workshop on Thursday with Eveen Kewen. And I watched how they developed the story and, you know, picking the characters, the plot and what the character wanted to be and stuff. It was very fun. Everyone's enthusiasm was great. And I liked the way of when everyone was picking, let's say, the character, there was a few characters to choose from. So everyone had to close their eyes. So they weren't influenced by their friends or anything and say, right. So she called out, let's say, the female detective. Everyone closed their eyes and whoever wanted to put their hands up, and you know, it was just a fair way of doing it, but it was very nice. It was very, very cute to see as well. I didn't get to see actually the final story, so I must get on to them about that as well, so I can read a few of them for you. But it was really nice to see the enthusiasm of it as well. Let me know as well if you were at the Listowel Storytelling Festival. It went on for a few days. I was there on Thursday, which was great, and I actually caught up with Paddy Regan, who was one of the storytellers there, and we talk about Paddy and his type of stories he tells as well. And if you check out our Facebook page, there's a video of Paddy. I put it up on Friday where he tells us a few yarns as well. But look, I'll let this interview do the talking as well.
My name is Paddy Regan. I'm a man of indeterminate age, but now retired for quite some time. And in my former existence, I was a management consultant. But I've always been telling stories because I'm originally from West Clare. And we had our house in West Clare, which was a thatched cottage in the village of Quilty, was the kind of rambling house for the village. So from a very early age, I was listening to what people did and the stories that they had. Mm-hmm. And in those days, people occasionally were beginning to come back from America, and their experience of America was amazing to behold in the terms in which they expressed it, because before they left Quilty, some of them had never seen running water, or an electric light, or a car. And they'd only ever seen a single-story building. So you can imagine what their impressions were if they were landed inside in the middle of New York. Mm-hmm. So there were always stories to be told. And of course, the stories always had embellishment. That was the important part of the story, to embellish it, make it richer than it actually was. So, and one of the things about Quilty men in those days, they wanted to prove that they were doing well. So when they came back from the States, they wanted to show evidence of progress. So they nearly always had a gold tooth inserted to show, I'm doing well, look at my gold tooth.
It's like having a gold filling.
Exactly. Well, yeah, I'd call it a gold filling, a gold tooth, yeah. And then the other thing to say is that I'm a Cork man, but my father had hoped I would be born in Clare. But nature didn't oblige, so I was born in Cove. So my father said, my my birth was not such an a birth event as an accident of geographic location. That's what he called it, you know. And then for the past 25 or 30 years, I've had a love affair with Listowel, mm-hmm. through my friend Billy Keane, you know, whom I got to meet and mad about, and done lots of stuff in Keane's pub. And I'll give you a beautiful little story. I was asked to do a one-man show in Billy Keane's. Mm-hmm. And I did. And John B. and Mary came down to watch the one-man show. The pub was thronged. Did the show. It was excellent. The people loved it. Got some applause. And I got the most beautiful left-handed compliment I ever got from John B. himself. Mm-hmm. When the show was over, Billy came over to me and he said, "Pad, the dad thought you were great." And I said, "Billy, that's not good enough for me. I want to know exactly, precisely what he said." Mm-hmm. So he said, I went over to him and I said, "Dad, what do you think of Paddy?" And he said, John B. said, this is the left-handed compliment, but one of the most ones that I've treasured, the one that I've treasured. He said, "I can find no fault with him."
Oh, wow. That must have been the beginning of your career then.
Oh, dear. Listen, there's no higher accolade than that, mm-hmm. From a Kerry man. You know, no higher accolade. So I've been telling stories for, I don't know, a long, long time. And I have a kind of a facility with accents and characterization. And so people like that.
Yeah.
People say, probably of all of the characters that I do, people like me doing PC, which is not politically correct. It's posh Cork.
I was going to say parent control or something.
Those days are over for me, right?
Very much, yeah.
No, posh Cork, yeah.
Paddy, do you find there's a difference? Let's say if you were telling a story in Clare, in Cork, in Kerry, is there a difference in the way you tell it?
That's a very interesting question, because I might tell the same story, and you know, I normally do maybe 20 minutes, half an hour, that kind of stuff. People are telling the same story, but Kerry people, Cork people, and Clare people, they laugh at different parts of it, mm-hmm. because the humour that's in it hits each nationality, if I may say so. They take a different view of the humour that's in the story. Mm-hmm. Now, the punchline will remain the same, very much the same, and then I'll make local references if I possibly can. Mm-hmm. Like for here, when I'm talking about posh Cork, I'd be talking about the Rochestown Road in Cork, or it'd be Fox Rock in Dublin, or Taylor's Hill in Galway, or Castle Troy in Limerick. But there's even a posh part of the story called Greenville, and I'd normally work that in, yes. to the story that I tell, and it gets a great reaction, because people who are in listening to me from Greenville get a ribbing from their neighbours, you know.
Yes.
So it's I never look on entertaining an audience. I always regard it as a collaboration between myself and the audience.
Yes.
You know, and I get them to repeat phrases in the story, and if they don't do it properly, I go back and rehearse them again. You know, so there's great fun in that.
Oh wow! So even with your own stories, you're getting the audience involved as well, which is nice.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant.
There's a set that I do which is talking about going dancing long ago. You know, so for example, a simple thing like the fellas would be watching the girls, but the girls would be watching the fellas. And in those days, you'd have to take the girl and her pal. And I have a whole character around the pal. If the girl of your dreams was beautiful, you'd always recognise the pal. The pal would be the plain one. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, yes, yes.
But the girls were always watching the fellas as well. And so they didn't want to go home on the handlebar of a bike, which is what they would have had to do, you know. So they'd be watching, and a lady told me this. She said, "We'd be watching the fellas coming into the dance to see if they had wrinkles in the back of their coat. Because if they had wrinkles in the back of their coat, they meant they'd come to the dance in a car." The penny drops.
Interesting.
Or there's another one that said, if you went up, if the lady's choice, you know, I don't know if they do it anymore, the ladies at one dance of the night would have a choice, you know, they could pick the fella they wanted, and they would dance, and it was normally a slow dance, mm-hmm. you know, and so, you know, she'd be hugging into you, you know, very close to you, and you would say, "Oh, romance, not at all. She was feeling if you had the keys of the car in your pocket.
inspiration.
A lot of them worked at it. So, and then what I do then during the course of that set is I take up a member of the audience, an attractive girl, and I dance with her. And there's a phrase that we'd use in Cork, you know, it'd be the second last dance of the night, and you'd be in a clinger. Do you know what a clinger is?
No.
Oh, Jamie Mac, a clinger is, you know, where it's a slow dance, and the two of you cling to each other.
You see, in my generation now, Paddy, we don't dance anymore. We just throw our hands in the air.
You're missing an awful lot. And so you'd be in the clinger, and the second part of the phrase is with a lasher. A lasher in Cork would be somebody as gorgeous as yourself.
Oh, sure.
So you're dancing, and so I bring a girl up from the audience, and we, you know, get her to hug in and do a close dance, and I'm in the clinger with the lasher. And there's a whole pile of things flow out from that.
Yes.
You know, like, for example, you'd have to leave the two of them home, you see, but if you only had the bike, if she was unsure of your intentions or didn't fancy very much, she'd sit on the carrier on the back of the bike, and the pal would sit on the handlebar.
Oh, Jesus.
And then, if she still didn't fancy you that much, what would she do? You'd have to leave the two of them home. That was the rule. You'd have to leave the two of them home. If she didn't fancy you, you know, she'd leave herself off first.
Okay.
And you'd have to leave the pal home.
Okay.
And if the girl lived in Listowel, where would the pal live? Lyra Compan. And you'd be all the way off to Lyra Compan with the pal.
Oh my gosh.
And the finish of this little part of the story is at least 50% of the men, I bet at least 50% of the men in the audience here tonight wound up married to the pal. And the simple male opportunistic premise, I'm not going all the way to Lyra Compan for nothing.
But
people identify very strongly with that, you know. They really enjoy, and I love it myself. Mm-hmm. And the audiences love characterization rather than straight story. You know, I adopt the character of the person, of the personalities that are in the story. Mm-hmm. You know, so you might have a posh Cork lad, and you'd have a fellow from the north side, you know, or you might have somebody from Kerry, you know. Yeah, I have a long story that goes on where they're travelling across the Bay of Biscay, and they have a Kerry pilot, and the two engines have gone in the plane.
Oh no!
Oh yeah!
I've already seen the Father Ted scene.
He comes on and he says, "Mayday, mayday, yes, mayday! The two engines are gone in the plane. We're going to crash in the Bay of Biscay." Now, Biscay is the term, but Biscay is the way they pronounce it here in Kerry. And the story goes on and on. Anyway, so they're all going to crash, and the people who live on the left-hand side of the plane will probably survive, because that's what has happened in previous crashes with this plane. And the rest of the plane are going to die because they're all going to be drowned. That's what has happened when this particular 737 has crashed previously. So he said, All of you on the right hand side of the plane who are going to live, probably survive. God bless you and spare you, and good, you know, safe home. All of you on the left hand side of the plane are who are going to die. You're ruined anyway. We'd like to thank you for flying Aer Lingus.
And that was Paddy Regan, who was speaking to me. And isn't he gas? That's all I can say. He's definitely a few funny stories to tell as well, and he's a good sense of humour. And he did a few accents for me afterwards. He's very good at them. You can't take that from him. I'm not good at doing accents. I can do my own accent, I suppose. But he's very funny. But do let me know if you went to see him or anyone else. You can give us a text on 083 300 3300, and we'll be on with Maria Gillan after we take these.
Travels Through a Kingdom on Radio Kerry with Kaya Flynn.
And you're very welcome back to this evening's Travels Through a Kingdom. I just got a few comments in there. I got one. Hi Kaya, I'm afraid I've no news, but I just wanted to let you know that
that I enjoy your show and tune in every Sunday. Thanks and keep up the good work. Dan McSweeney in Castleland. Thank you so much, Dan. That's a lovely message to get. I really appreciate it. And it's lovely to know that you're tuning in as well. And I also got a message from Charles. Hi, Charles. How are you? Hi, Kaya. I saw you at the Toxos concert. It was a great night. It would be great if you got Frances Kennedy on your show. I enjoyed her story about the waterworks on Friday night. I cannot repeat that story to you on air, but I can tell you one thing. You would be sore with laughter. She was such a character. It was very good. But if you know Frances, if you've seen any of her stuff, you would have probably seen that or heard that story already. Very good, very witty is all I can say. And Patrick in the Stole is enjoying the show. Thank you, Patrick, for getting in touch as always. Now, Maria Gillen is a storyteller from Cork, but is very much associated with the Listole Storytelling Festival as well. And I sent her a message during the week, actually, to see how she was preparing, and just her text alone, she was more than excited. She was so excited. It was like the day before Christmas with her. So I got to sit down with Maria, and she told us a bit about herself and a story about how dragons became dragonflies.
My name is Maria Gillen, and I'm based in Cork City, and I'm the storyteller in residence here in Kerry Writers Museum, and it's been amazing. So this is the third year that I'm involved with the Storytelling Festival here, and the excitement is building, and people are beginning to arrive now, and it's lovely.
My first question is, and it's something I don't see often, Maria, is female storytellers. Is there a lack of female storytellers?
Well, I suppose I would know quite a few female storytellers because I sit on the Committee of the Storytellers of Ireland. Nuala Hayes is at the helm, so she's a fine storyteller and a well-known actress here in Ireland. In Galway, you have Orla McGovern. She runs Moth and Butterfly. In Kilkenny, you have the fabulous Emer. So there's a lot of women at the helm of storytelling clubs. Mm-hmm. And even in Cork, you would have Mary, who would be running the Gab. And we have a Kerry man running Cork Yarn Spinners, and his name is Paddy O'Brien. He's amazing.
I know Paddy, he's very good. I had him on the show a couple of weeks ago as well. He told a story of Cathair Conry, and I mean, he brought it to life. You can nearly see it.
Yeah.
With him, just with his words.
Yeah, and he tells those stories. We're so lucky. He tells those stories to the children of Cork in the library system. And in fact, he met his wife through that system.
Oh my God.
Yeah, because Liz Weir, who's coming in tomorrow, she's the, it's Liz Weir MBE for Services to Peace through Story. She's coming, she's one of our featured tellers. And she introduced Paddy to his wife when they were setting up Cork Yarn Spinners all those years ago. So there you go.
As well as storytelling, there's love stories to tell as well.
Oh, there's always stories within stories, definitely.
How excited are you for this week?
I'm telling you now, I haven't slept a wink in about 2 months, and all of the storytellers that I met in Marrakesh in February, they've all been on, and in fact one of them is coming. Her name is Maria Cridally, to wish us luck, and they're keeping an eye on how the things are going as storytelling comes out from behind the COVID curtain and goes live again. So we have a fantastic programme of storytelling, and of course we model ourselves on the Irish Session. Mm-hmm. And the Rambling House in Listole has been going for over 50 years. It's currently under the guidance of Johnny McGilligott. I come whenever I can. It's the last Thursday of the month, and it's on here in Kerry Writers Museum. Mm-hmm. So we will have the Rambling House as the Slán na Bhaile on Sunday. Frances Kennedy, Sonny Egan. Sonny Egan is the current All-Ireland FLA winner, mm-hmm. senior cycle for storytelling. And then there's a young boy, and his name is Rian Gleeson. And he brought the gold home for Kerry in his age group this year. So it's brilliant to see storytelling so vibrant mm-hmm. in Kerry and in Listole.
Especially for today's age as well, because a lot of stuff, people just watch things online now, but like there's still a real grow for storytelling, isn't there?
Oh, they brought me into university over in Marrakesh, and they put me up against two or three professors of storytelling. And they said with all of the technology now that storytelling was going to die a death, and they took a long time to give us that message. And then they brought the microphone to me, and I stood up and I said, "Video kills the radio star," because storytelling is one of the most ancient art forms, and it will never die. Mm-hmm. It'll just transmogrify. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and that's what's happening now. Mm-hmm. So in the storytelling world, we're hanging out with people like spoken word artists, new singers, story makers, you know, and I'm a drama therapist myself. So I'm very interested in the movement of the Ban Fasa, the wise woman of Ireland, and what Celtic myths and legends can offer us in these modern times, you know. Mm-hmm. So,
Maria, I know you have a workshop fairly soon, so finally, tell me, what is it that you like about storytelling and passing on that ritual to other people as well?
I think it's the gift that just keeps on giving. It's intergenerational, it's very connecting, it brings us into the land of possibility. So, you know, it's borderless. It's the borderless lands of storytelling. And we saw this when we went to Marrakesh, and 108 storytellers from all over the world gathered, and we loved it so much that we're going again in February. So I'm delighted to be representing Kerry Writers Museum there. So I'm hoping that our connection now will grow strong, and maybe we'll have a rambling house on the radio someday.
Oh, I'm fairly sure. And for now, we'll definitely have your story on the radio.
Oh, brilliant. That's great. Thanks so much.
Maria, thank you so much. We'll play out your story that you have for us. And we also have it on our Facebook page as well, so we'll put that up fairly shortly for people to see, because Maria has such a way of telling a good story.
Ah, cracking ma, Erin Schgelte.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Once upon a time, just outside of these walls, here in Kerry Writers Museum, a magical thing happened. If you go outside of Kerry Writers Museum, you'll see a beautiful limestone disc, and behind it an amphitheatre of limestone in front of Listowel Castle. Well, if stones could talk, they would tell you this story. Once upon a time, in the time outside time, a long time ago, before human beings walked the earth, there was two tribes of fairy. There was the Dina Shi, who were the fairies of the mounds and the hedgerows, and there was the Dina Mara. Those were the fairies that lived in the sea, and perhaps they still do. Well, the Dina Mara had a beautiful king. His name in the Irish language, which is the language of druids, was Rina Shi. Isn't that gorgeous? Wouldn't you love to try that yourself? Rina Shi, king of the fairies. And he was so happy here in Listowel. At the very second that Rina Shi was born, a blue dragon hatched from its egg, and so they were bonded forever. Did you know that the dragons in Listowel were blue dragons? Well, they were, and they are. And she was linked to Rina Shi, and they bonded. But over time, Rina Shi began to have droopy shoulders. He began to have two lines over his nose. And for the first time, his people said, "Do you think Rina Shi is worried about something?" For they'd never seen him worried before. And the Shandini, the old people of the old tribe, they said, "Oh, the scrolls have said that this is the time of change." What does that mean? What does that mean? Nobody knew what it meant, that this was the time of change. But Rina Shi, he began to walk down to the river Fiam all on his own, and he'd look out over the water. And the day that the Bradon Fasa, the salmon of knowledge, stuck her snout up over the water, Rina Shi knew that it was the time of change. "Oh no," he said, as he began to trudge back up the road towards where Kerry Writers Museum is on this day. And up from under the ground, the blue dragon put out her snout. "Tell me, Rina Shi," she said, "tell me what's wrong with you." And he said, "Oh, listen, the time of change has come." And just like you or I would tell our troubles to a friend, he poured out his heart. "We're going to have to change," he said. "We're going to have to go to the liminal spaces, to the shadowy spaces, so that we can make space for the human beings that are coming." "I see," she said, as she went back into her eyes, because that's what dragons do. And she sent her heart out to all of the other dragons in Ireland. When she came back into her eyes again, she said, "Oh, Rena she, I'm full of glee. We'll come with thee." "What?" he said. "But you know there's a cost." "What's the cost?" she said. "Oh, we have to become much smaller. We have to become invisible." "Invisible?" she said. "Ah, yes," he said. "But a very special type of invisible. It's called iridescent." "Isn't that a gorgeous word? Iridescent. What does it mean?" she said. "Well, even though your wings are invisible, every colour of the world will dance across them in the moonlight and in the sunlight. All the reds and blues and greens, all the earth colours, all the jewel colours." "Oh, I'd love that," she said. So that time, so many years ago, outside of time, on the luminous night, the she gathered on the banks of the field, and the blue dragons flew up over their heads and walked behind them until they came to the standing stones. That is a fairy cathedral. Rena she walked into the middle, and he cast his Rhydriata, his king magic, out over the heads of his people. And they felt the change. They felt themselves shrinking, and they closed their eyes. And when they opened their eyes again, a blade of grass was as tall as an old oak tree. And the dragons had changed too. Their bodies had grown long and thin as they shrunk, and their wings grew and flowed and flew to the edge of their body. And the moon sent colours dancing across those wings. That's how dragons became dragonflies on the banks of the Fear. And to this day, if you see a dragonfly, then his she is not far behind.
And that was Maria Gillen telling us the story of how dragons became dragonflies at the Listowel's Writers' Museum for the Listowel Storytelling Festival. And if you check out our Facebook page, as I was saying in the interview, you can watch Maria telling the story too. It's very nice to watch. I must say she's very enthusiastic, and I just love the way she told her story as well. So yeah, if you want to get in touch, email me kflynn@radiokerry.ie or give us a text. More after these.
You're listening to Travels Through a Kingdom on Radio Kerry with Kaya Flynn.
Now is that time of the week where we listen back to the archive of Sean Hurley. And I found this piece today, and it's really nice and special. And I just want to say as well, a big hello to Melissa, if you're listening. It was lovely to meet you the last day as well. And I really, really appreciated having a lovely chat with you. So this one is for you.
We go to Ballylongford, where I was back in 2005. And then Paddy O'Neill recited a lovely poem for us.
When the long, long day's over, and the big boss gives me my pay, I hope that it won't be hellfire, as some of the parsons say. And I hope that it won't be heaven, with some of the parsons I've met. All I want is peace, just to rest and forget. Look at my face, tile furrowed. Look at my calloused hands. Master, I've done thy bidding, wrought in thy many lands. Wrought for the little master, big belly they be and rich. I've done the desire for a daily hire, and I die like a dog in a ditch. I have used the strength thou hast given, thou knowest I did not shirk. 3 score years of labour, thine be the long day's work. And now, big master, I'm bent and twisted and scarred, but I've held my job and thou knowest, and thou wilt not judge me hard. Thou knowest that my sins are many, and often I played the fool. Whiskey, cards, and women, they made me their devil's tool. I was just like a child with money. I flung it away with a curse, feasting and fawning in past right and gluttering a harlot's purse. Then back to the woods repentant, back to the mill and the mine. I, the worker of workers, everything in my line. Everything hard but headwork. I had no more brains than a kid. A brute with broad strength to labour, doing as I was bid. Living in camps with menfolk, a lonely and a lonesome life. Yet gladly I'd have cherished a woman, or the sweet warm kiss of a child. Master, I fill my contract, and the light it is low in the west, and the long, long shift is over. Master, I have earned it. Rest.
Thank you very much there to Paddy. Paddy, I believe that you like the old gimmick cards as well.
I do. I love the gimmick cards.
So you're off to play a game tonight.
Yeah, I'm off to play a game tonight and do the best I can with them and have a bit of a crack.
Yeah. I know over the Killarney region there's a number of good shark card players out there as well, but in the Ballylongford region, out Tarbert, who'd be a good card player in your estimation out here? Outside yourself, of course.
I wouldn't be very good, but... the game has changed an awful lot, you know, down the years. But it was very hard to beat John Welsh. He was very good at the game. And he'd give the odd talking to. What else would you do? So, you know, that this is part of the sport. And it is all for a few simple euros, you know. There ain't much in it.
Will they get very serious now with the cards here?
Oh, some of the women would get cross. We have to be careful with the women. And he used to have to be careful. There were no meddling with the women, some of them.
So they take it fairly seriously?
Oh, they do. The following night, then it is all forgotten. If there's a bit of a rumpus like the football, it is the same.
Would a person now need a lot of patience playing cards? Because I don't know anything about cards myself. I don't play them. But I take it sometimes that you would need a lot of patience. Would we be correct in saying that?
You would. You'd get used to people that you're playing with, and you'd know when they'd have good cards, a lot of them. You know, the way they'd hold them, you'd know that they had something. You'd just test your wits against theirs.
Yes.
At times. Yeah. And sometimes you will make the mistake, you see. Sometimes you'll do the right thing.
And finally, Paddy, is there a lot of card playing going on in this area?
It is a dying thing now. They're getting smaller and smaller.
I suppose the younger lads aren't picking it up at all.
Very few coming into the game. Mm-hmm. You see, television and all this has taken over.
Yeah.
When I was young, it was great. The house card games were great. Oh, it was.
Well, Paddy, I better let you off to that game because I know they're waiting for you down there. Thank you very much again.
And that was the archive of Sean Hardy as well. And does anyone else actually still play cards? I definitely don't. I worked in a bar one time and they used to play Knock 21 or 31? I played it once, but I couldn't get the gist of it at all. But that is all we have time for on tonight's Travels Through Kingdom. And I really hope you enjoyed the stories and the chats. A big thank you to the pupils in Gaia School who spoke to me from the stool, to Maria Gillen, Paddy Regan, and as well to Cara Trent for organising everything at the Listhole Storytelling Festival for me to be there and speak to them as well. Remember, if you have a story you'd like to tell me, you can email me at any point, kflynn@radiokerry.ie. Stay with us here on Radio Kerry as Elaine is up next with 7 days, and then Sean Riley is off to finish off the weekend radio with Irish Favourites. So until next Sunday, take care.
You're listening to Travels Through a Kingdom on Radio Kerry with Kaya Flynn.